Hey everybody, this is Chris Kelso with Unmanned. On today's episode, you'll get to hear the inspirational story of Felicia Rexford. I've known Felicia since 2007, and I've always been impressed with her drive and respected her as a professional. I felt that more people needed to hear her story, and I'm so glad that she allowed me the opportunity to share it. Felicia currently runs her own real estate business in Las Vegas, Nevada, and is still active in the Unmanned community even after leaving it to pursue greater things. I hope you enjoy the show. Felicia, welcome to Unmanned. Thank you for being my guest. And I really wanted to have you on because you've done something that I don't think anybody else has really done, which is taken that military to contractor and then scaled it even more and developed a career out of it. Mm-hmm. So. Why don't you tell the audience that might not know you because we're so many generations behind.
I know, we're so old in the UAV world.
Why don't you give us a little bit of your background and how you came to be where you're at now.
Okay, so I did about 4 years active duty in the military and 9 years as a contractor. Started here stationed at Nellis Air Force Base. Flying the drone program when there was only two squadrons, mm-hmm. the 15th mm-hmm. and the 17th. Lived on base because the only reason to go to Creech was for LR training and you bust back home. Mm-hmm. Creech wasn't Creech. It was Indian Springs Auxiliary Field. So dating myself. But that's how we started. And I absolutely, just to kind of a little bit of background, I loved the Air Force. So a lot of people I think may hear 4 years and getting out and maybe not understand why somebody made that decision. Mm-hmm. Mine was purely personal and for my family. So Nick and I had tried for almost 4 years to get pregnant, and we couldn't get pregnant. I actually accomplished 4 years of IVF. Excuse me, we tried for almost 6 years. I accomplished 4 years of IVF. Okay. And as a senior airman, Nick and I were on round gosh knows and tapping out every penny that we had to try to get pregnant. Yeah. And pretty much... I wasn't able to do that on a senior airman pay. And I was being offered a contracting job, doing the same thing, working in the same building, mm-hmm. doing this, working with the same people.
Polo
and khakis. and obviously making a little bit of a better income, right? Just a smidge better.
Yes.
So I hate to say that it was for monetary reasons, but it was truly to expand our family. We were at the point where we could not do another round of in vitro because we couldn't afford it. Mm-hmm. At that point, I think we had already paid out about $36,000 to try to get pregnant. Yeah, it was overwhelming.
You were what rank?
Senior airman at that time.
Okay.
Senior airman. Yeah, it wasn't going to happen for us naturally. So mm-hmm. we had a lot of things there that were going on. So I made the decision to become a contractor because I wanted to start my family. And I needed the income to pursue that IVF treatment. And guess what? My net, as soon as I started as a contractor, a little bit later, we were finally able to get pregnant with Nolan, my oldest son. Thank you. So I probably would have stayed in. I loved everything that the Air Force ever did for me. I came from a very poor background. Very poor background, had nothing going for me. I was a waitress putting myself through college, and the Air Force gave me medical, it gave me dental, it gave me an income, it gave me a lot. And to this day, I look back and I'm so grateful for those years mm-hmm. and my resume and everything else. And then I went on and I did 9 years as a contractor with different contract. You know how they fall through.
Yeah.
Every few years, you change a title. Yeah, you change a title. You change your name. But then I did 9 years as a contractor, and then I'll let you kind of maybe do the segue. But at some point, I decided to move. It wasn't even necessarily up and on. It was that I, again, needed a change because now I had little children, and the flying schedule was just not conducive mm-hmm. to raising my children. For me, that was my decision. So...
And I'm just now, I'm up at Creech right now, and the flying schedule, the summer windows just kicked in. We're talking about 2 a.m. briefs, mm-hmm. getting up at 12:30 at
yep.
night, and it's brutal. I didn't realize they were still doing that.
Yeah. Don't even get me started. I don't know why. but the other thing is, my husband's a firefighter.
Right.
So he's gone 24-hour shifts. Mm-hmm. So it actually trips me out to think about it, because about 4, 5 o'clock every day, I would look at that schedule and try to figure out, okay, who's going to take my kids to school? Right. Who's going to pick them up? Because Nick wasn't home the next day. So I was working on a flying schedule about half of the month, almost like a single parent. Mm-hmm. And every single day I made it work. And looking back at that, I don't know.
Yeah, you did it.
I don't. I really, really don't.
I mean, how does daycare even work like that?
I had people coming to the house. I was paying an arm and a leg, but I was having people come to my house because sometimes I was having them sleep over if it was a launch, yeah, or putting them to bed if it was a late land. Sometimes they just stay the night because I may not be getting home until super late if we were having the really late lands.
That's ridiculous.
You know?
That's
and, just ridiculous. Well, it wasn't how Nick and I wanted to parent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's crazy. You get wrapped up in the cyclical day-to-day, the grind, right? And you just do. I think we just react. We do. We survive,
yes,
you know? And Nick and I just started having these epiphanies that we were paying people to raise our children, and that's just not what I wanted. I wanted to imprint on my kids. I wanted to teach them about manners and bedtime and things like that. And I was missing out. Actually, you'll probably get me a little emotional thinking about it because there was some young years. No, it's just there was some young years that I missed, you know. So I was making great money. I had a career. Mm-hmm. You can't even call that a job anymore. I mean,
right,
it's a full-fledged career. And we were making it work, but I was really missing out. And when you look at the big picture of life, I have one opportunity with my kids. I have one chance. And I was missing it. So that's kind of what got my brain spinning on something else.
And they were small kids. I mean, they were babies.
They were babies.
And that's tough.
It was very
tough. It's
tough
for everybody when they're babies.
Yeah, and the early ones, you're waking them up at 6 o'clock in the morning when they're 3 and 4 years old to go drop them off, possibly at school once I got them into school,
right,
and rushing back home to get them before, you know, childcare is over. It was tough.
How old was your oldest when you made that transition?
Ooh.
When you got away from that schedule.
Oh, for real estate?
When you made fully, like you're no longer responsible to go to Creech at 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever,
yeah,
it is. How old was your oldest?
About 5.
So about 5 years you managed 5. And dealt with that kind of hectic schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's insane.
It was really tough. For the first, I got to give a shout out to one of my best friends, Brianna Meekum. She actually came and lived with us. And I handed over, I needed it.
Yeah.
And I handed her my six-week-old baby, and I went back to work. And with Nixon, I flew a sortie the day before he was born. I was in the seat the day before he was born.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was working.
How did you get in the GCS?
I wasn't that big. I wasn't that big. I'm bigger now, actually.
Yeah,
just
kidding. You make the adjustments.
I do remember actually talking about needing to get to the GDT one time and being like, this is a problem. This is problematic, you know? I didn't just eat too much here.
Yeah, that's rough.
But yeah, so I was handing my six-week-old baby over to Brianna Meekum. With Nixon, I decided to take a whopping 8 weeks. It's still not that much time.
Yeah.
And I remember being up at Creech when there was no facilities. I'm going to get some real personal here, but when there was no facilities to pump when I was breastfeeding, I had nothing. You know, it was tough. Not even kidding, again, TMI, but I'd have my little breast pump and an extension cord running down the hall to get into
Simbe or something.
Do you remember in between the 11th and the Teg how they had that like that trailer in the middle of the parking lot,
yes,
for a while? That was where we
your
were
trailer
at.
Trailer was your pump station.
Yes, yes, it was ridiculous. But that's the thing though. Like we all, and as a woman, I can also speak to the part of you just figure it out. You know, if the kid goes potty out in public, you don't have a diaper, you figure it out. Like,
right,
we just figure it out, right? So I was definitely in that mode. But man, looking back now, it's kind of funny. Thinking about it.
Laughing about it now.
Laughing about it now, trying to figure out how the heck did I do that? You just did,
yep,
you know?
So you joined when?
2003.
Were you RQ?
They were phasing them out during our upgrade. So some people got some RQ in on their grade sheets.
Yeah.
And I think I might have had one or two flights. And
so
then it was MQ1.
Out.
Yeah. I mean, literally one or two flights.
Not many of you left.
No. 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 And I when I wasn't out there, you know, operational with those. That was the end of literally they were phasing them out while we were going through training.
And you deployed in what year then? 2005?
Five. Summer.
That was MQ, right?
It was MQ-1. Yeah, I actually launched the first Block 10 overseas.
And that was Iraq.
Mm-hmm. OIF.
Did you only go to Iraq? Did you do it?
I did.
Afghanistan?
Nope, I did not. I went to Iraq, and I was supposed to be over there for 4 months.
Turned into
1 week shy of six because they didn't want to give me the short term.
Yeah, happened to me. I'm so pissed.
Yep. I tried to plan it to be back. I missed my 6 months of my first year of marriage. So I was trying to be back for my 1 year wedding anniversary, and that didn't work out. We missed it.
So now I went through in 2006, end of 2006, and you were already a contractor then. You taught me as a contractor.
Okay, yeah.
So you made that switch at some point after.
Right, and I'm talking
right afterwards.
I changed from a green suit right into my civilian. I was still on my terminal leave when I started as a contractor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I was right back in it.
And did you come right in as a sim instructor, or were you able to
fly? No, I flew.
Okay, because I know that they had a weird thing there where you
we
would do some
went back
sims
and
then do some flying.
Yeah,
so you were paid based on that.
Yeah, no, I was a flyer. I was a flyer, and in active, I was an instructor evaluator, and when I left, I was an evaluator.
Okay.
And so I was fully up. I was flying in the same building. I mean, everything was just. Whoop, whoop. I just started flying again the next day.
Yeah, and you strut your way in with some khaki.
And I'm gonna go home now. Yeah, it was a nice transition. It was a nice transition. Again, nothing, I seriously cannot speak anything negative about my military experience. For me personally, it was a very personal decision. It did come down to monetary reasons mm-hmm. because we did want to expand our family, and we couldn't. In that doctor's office, I remember the nurse coming in on the last little bit and giving us our financial obligation if we were going to do another round, and yeah. I just broke down. Because it wasn't that I didn't want to have a family. It's that we could not afford it, period. And that was really rough. She started crying because they all knew. Well, you get to know nurses and stuff when you're going through this stuff. She called the doctor who was out of state. And he's like, what can you afford? And I gave some ridiculous number. And I'm like, I'm not kidding you. I cannot do any more than this, period. And he did it for that amount.
Oh.
And I got pregnant.
Hey!
I know. It was crazy.
That's a good story.
It was amazing. He was an amazing man. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I mean, if I see a woman start crying, everyone starts crying.
So. Right? I won't. I'll hold it together this
effect.
Time. It's, hey,
please don't.
It was.
I'll start crying.
Okay. It was tough. Yeah, I get told
a little
that a lot. Yeah. It was tough, but it's funny because we turn back. I do this a lot in my life. I'm sure you do. I'm sure many people do. Where you look back at your life and you see those Y intersections, mm-hmm. those T intersections or what have you, where you had that opportunity to go left or go right. And you, I enjoy looking back and seeing what that did for me. And then what contracting that income did for me, which got Nick and I into investing in properties and buying real estate.
Yes, I rented from you.
Yes, you did for
yes,
a little bit.
Did.
You're a very good tenant. Thank
oh,
you
thank
very much.
You.
Okay. Actually, we're about to sell that house.
The same one?
Yeah, we're flipping it. We're almost done.
Huh.
Yeah. Dapple Gray.
Good times.
Yeah. Yep.
6547.
Yes. There's a plug. Yep.
I remember.
Yeah.
That's good. That's awesome. Yeah. And then I remember when I was living there, you had a huge house with like five bedrooms or something, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, and I just sold that one last week.
Okay. And you had a bunch of roommates too.
Heck yeah. The first, I think, about 7 years of my life, Nick and I, well, there's a term for it now. You call it house hacking. House hacking is when you rent out, sublet your rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first 7 years of marriage, Nick and I rented out every single room we could. Essentially, we had our renters, our friends, paying our mortgage. But we were homeowners.
Yeah.
And anybody that's listening to this, if they're in real estate, they probably have heard that term before. Now they have a term for it. Nick and I didn't know what the heck. We just knew that we didn't want to pay our mortgage.
Exactly.
I think there was one specific time at Dapple Gray that I had every single room rented and a guy was sleeping on my couch. I'm not looking. Like, we had every room rented, and we had the couch rented out, you know?
Well, when I was living there, one of the rooms was rented, and that guy still slept on the couch every day.
Yeah, so we house hacked, and we were able to hold on to Dapple Gray. We were able to purchase that big house.
Mm-hmm.
We house hacked that. I had every single room rented out there. There was definitely a time where Nick and I looked at each other and were like, we don't need to house hack anymore. We've got this. Nick was going through school to become a firefighter. That was not an overnight thing. He went to school to become actually a paramedic to start transitioning into the fire department because that gives you a better foot in the door. And so once he was established in his career and I was established in my career, we finally looked at each other and we're like, are we done with roommates?
Just say, it's going to be...
Yeah, you, it was not easy.
You had the roommates when you had the kids, too.
Yes, we did. And so, again, Brianna Meekum was our nanny. She lived with us, and essentially we paid for her to be able to stay with us. And there was also some... we also paid her, you know, on the side. And she'd help me clean the house because I was gone all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you work deals. I'm all about working deals. I'm still working deals, Kelso.
And you got all these people living there, and they're flyers too. So they're on shift work, and you've got a baby.
Yep.
I mean, that baby's crying, and they're like,
you know, I was blessed. I was blessed.
Were you lucky?
I was so blessed. Well, no. Nolan was tough. He didn't eat, and he was underweight, and still to this day is kind of on the slim side, you know. They actually came into the doctor's office before and told us that they were concerned quite a few times. I'm like, look.
Too small.
I was like, but look, my kid eats. He just doesn't eat a lot. And that's a whole other discussion. I won't go down that road. But so he was not an easy baby. He didn't sleep very much. But to this day, a lot of the people that lived with us, they're our best friends. And they helped the whole term, it takes a village. We didn't have family here to help us. Our village was under our roof, and they truly helped us raise our children, and we're still best friends.
It's good that you had that support structure.
100%.
Especially during that.
I would say that our we have a great group of friends now, and they are very, very much like family. If not, honestly, I would just say they are family. They've been there from the hospital when they were born to now, you know? So we've been very blessed with a good networking little group of friends.
Are they still in that house?
No, because I sold that one last week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I closed on that one.
Nice.
Yeah, closed on Waukesha, about to list Dapple Gray. So it's a good market if you haven't heard.
Yeah, we'll talk afterwards.
Okay.
So why'd you sell that one instead of Dapple Gray? Because Dapple Gray was the first one you owned.
Well, almost simultaneously, to be honest, but Dapple Gray needed a full rehab. So we did a full rehab.
It was an older house.
Oh, it was an older house. The tenant that was in there the last 8 years kind of destroyed it.
Oh, man.
So it's okay. We didn't have turnover every single year. It is what it is. We knew when we went to go sell that one that we'd have to put some money into it.
Plus, it's a long contract, too.
Yeah, we didn't have any turnover. They weren't, you know, out every year. It was fine.
100% rented 8 years.
Can't ask 11. That. She was in it for 8. It was rented for 11 years.
So it was right after I left.
Yeah, it was constantly rented after you guys left. Constantly rented. We went through one other family after you, and then she was the lady that stayed for pretty much the entire time.
So talking real estate, what year did you start? Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't your father a real estate agent, or was?
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
And so he did real estate when I was younger, and he's been doing real estate almost my entire life. So I always kind of heard it in the background. Never once did I... It's that whole you don't want to do what your parents do thing, right? I don't know why that is. I don't know why that is, but that's like a natural thing. So I never thought to do real estate. The reason why I got in real estate, well, we'll just get into it.
Yeah.
When I was a contractor, our market crashed out here in Las Vegas.
Yep.
And do you want a funny story? Do you want the real raw story of it all?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, here comes the real raw story. So here it is. So the market was at the bottom,
Mm-hmm.
We had Dapple Gray under our belt. We had Waukesha. We were living in the big Waukesha house. It was a big house, like you said. It was 4,500 square feet, 5 bedrooms, rented out every single room.
Yeah.
Didn't pay a mortgage for quite a few years. Again, young airmen out there, house hack. it's not easy, but it really made it for us. We were able to save and save and save and save. And so at a very young age, at about 24, 25, something like that, we had a little nest egg. Nothing much. And I was working with another contractor, and they were about to short sell their house. And I had been to that person's house, and it was cute. It's a little 2-bedroom, 2-bath house.
Yeah.
I said, what are you going to short sell it for? And they said, probably around $80,000. And I was just, my jaw was on the ground. I just saw, you know what I heard? Opportunity, opportunity, opportunity.
This is right after 2008,
opportunity.
Right?
No, this is closer to 2010-ish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was near the bottom.
Okay.
And I went home. Here comes the funny part. So I went home. I'm looking for Nick. Nick, where are you at? He was upstairs. He was echoing from the bathroom. There's a pretty good chance he was on the toilet. Then I walked in, and him and I, we have a pretty open relationship when it comes to stuff like that.
Okay.
So there you go. Opened up the door. He's sitting there with pants on the ground. I go, so-and-so's selling their house for $80,000. We should buy it. And he goes, okay. And I'm like, okay. And I walked out.
Talk to you in a minute.
That was my first investment conversation with my husband, but it was instant. I said it. I said we should do this. And he didn't even think about it. He's like, let's do it. Because all we needed was that 20% as an investor. We just needed 20% down to buy our first, no kidding, out the door rental house. Mm-hmm. And we did. So we bought that. Our mortgage was approximately, I'm just going to throw out approximate numbers, about $400 was the mortgage. And I turned around and I rented it out for about $1,000. And I went, basic math. Mm-hmm. There's a profit to be made. Yep. And over the next few years, we probably were really boring friends because we saved every single penny that we could, scraped up enough money to do it again. Mm-hmm. And the next year, we bought another $85,000 house. And the next year we bought another one, you know, and then we're like, let's try to do one a year. And so getting my real estate license wasn't something that I necessarily projected or said, hey, I want to do. Mm-hmm. Nick and I were investing and buying houses. And then Felicia sits around at night and thinks about all the ins and outs of things, right? And I'm like, man, God forbid. And this is nothing to try to be, you know, I don't know. I'm not trying to be negative or anything, but God, what if something happened to Nick one day? What would I do? You know, we talk about these things. Right. Something happened to Nick and I needed to turn around and sell all my houses. I want to be able to do that myself. And if I had to liquidate all my houses, I kind of had an amount that I'd be paying like in commissions and whatnot. And I'm like, well, I can go get my license for like X amount. I'll just go get my license as a safety net. That's why I got my real estate license.
So you could sell the houses and save your commissions.
Just in case. Just in case something bad were to happen. Well, and by that time, I was still a contractor. I was living in this house, making our bed with Nick. And I'm thinking, hey, babe, I'm going to get my license. And if I do a couple deals a year, that's just savings. It's just extra savings. Mm-hmm. So I started going to get my license, which I was still a contractor. So there's classes. I'm a person that has to be sitting in class. I need to sit in class. I need to see people. I need to take notes. That's how I learn. That's how I've always learned, even though you can do. Yeah. And a lot of people can do that online. I cannot. And so I remember flying and there were classes directly across Vegas. So I'm coming from Creech all the way across. Ugh. Yeah. And they don't care when you show up. No. And they would start at 6 and end at 10. And sometimes I'd catch the last 2 hours or get the whole amount. It just depended on my flying schedule and grade sheets and when I could get out of there. But every day for a few months, I would just drive across town, catch what I could. Terms that I didn't know, YouTube or what have you. You know, did a lot of self-teaching that way, but went to the class. Got my license. And before I could even get my license, I had people coming to me at Creech, sitting down at my desk when I'm sitting there typing up a grade sheet for a student I just flew with, going, hey, I want to sell my house. Can you help me? Hey, I want to buy a house. Can you help me? And I'm looking at them like, you know, I haven't even finished my license yet. Like, I'm brand new, right? Because I'm thinking, nobody's going to want to work with me. Before I got my real estate license, my thought was that's going to take me the longest, is to build up the trust factor and all that stuff. And what I quickly realized, and now a learning point for myself, is that people want someone they can just trust. Right. It is not necessarily the 25 years of experience. It's having somebody on your side that you can trust. Mm-hmm. And I did about 6 deals in a matter of my first 3 months of having my license and went, holy crap, there's something here. And I saw opportunity. I really did. My brain started spinning and I'm thinking, who's the real estate agent in town that's specializing in VA? Who's the realtor that's integrated into Creech at that time? Because now I've gone up to Creech and is like the person. There isn't anybody.
Right.
I started looking around. I just saw opportunity, opportunity, opportunity. So my first year of real estate, I was a contractor still. Mm-hmm. And I was working morning, nights, and weekends. I squeezed in real estate anywhere I possibly could. Mm-hmm. And my first year, I equaled the same income as my contracting job.
Nice.
Part-time. Because think about that. Morning, nights, and weekends.
Your circle of influence was just feeding you.
100%. Oh my, I owe everything to my military family.
Mm-hmm.
180%. And that's why now I've gotten a great little position as an honorary commander of the 22nd Attack Squadron. Mm-hmm. And that is such an amazing vessel for me to give back. So a lot of people are always like, thank you, or you're generous. Man, it is the absolute least that I can do. Because to this day, my phone rings and my emails go and my text messages come in and it's, oh, so-and-so gave me your name. So-and-so gave me your name. You know, I'm in Syracuse. I'm going to be moving to Las Vegas. I'm in Holloman. I'm going to be moving to Las Vegas. Everybody that were my friends and even my students, my coworkers, they've all helped me create a new life. Now, mind you, it was a lot of hard work on my end because you still got to make people happy and willing to give out your information, right? But about a year of part-time and replacing my contracting income, I went to my boss up there, who's still up there.
Yes,
I don't know if we can mention names.
We'll leave the names out, okay. But I did just see him the other day.
Okay, and I went into his office one day and I said, you know, sir, I'd really like to go part-time. There wasn't a part-time. Nobody had ever gone part-time. There was no part-time. That just wasn't a thing. But what's the worst somebody can say? Exactly. It's the worst that he can say. You know what? It's the worst that he could say. And the other thing was, I made a good name for myself. I was a hard worker up there. It's not like I'm, you know, slack-assing it or whatever. So I walked in there. I sat down, gave my spiel. I want to go part-time. His reaction was not what I expected at all, actually. He sat back in his chair. He put his hands through his hair, like sweaty palm, like, ah! It must have been a bad day. And when he did that physical reaction of, like, his hands through his hair, I was like, oh, God, like, that did not
just
go up.
Just kidding.
Oh, my God. And I remember walking out there and actually feeling a little flustered, like, shit, you know? And it was funny. And we just left it there. He was going to think about
it. Didn't give you an answer?
Right? No. And right. So it was really bad. Oh, yeah, it was really, really bad. Like, totally, like, yeah. Have you seen that gif where like Homer Simpson's like going back into the bushes backwards? Yeah, that's it. I was like, exit. Yeah, stage right. The next day I was at my desk and I was typing up a grade sheet and he walked in over my right hand shoulder and said, hey, I talked to so-and-so and so-and-so and if you want to go part-time, then we don't want to lose you. That right there was one of the main reasons why I tell my kids and just again, another staple in my life. Your name is so huge in life, like who you are, you know? And I think that I worked my ass off and I had a good reputation mm-hmm. and they didn't want to lose me.
Right.
And so I was able to push that boundary a smidge. And I always want to talk to him because I think that I started something up there because then this person went part-time, this person did, you know? And I was like, I just look back going, oh man, he probably hated that decision. But I went part-time and then I stayed part-time doing more real estate. For about another year. And you're doing the basic math. This is not cosmic math. How much did I make this year? Right. How much did I make this year? Am I growing a business? Am I growing a name? And then Felicia, I started thinking, can I grow a brand?
Mm-hmm.
So that started like my thought. And I was. And then my second year, I almost doubled my income. And so I went, holy crap, if I could do this full time. Now, let me stop for a second, too, because sure. I'm not an idiot, and real estate ebbs and flows, okay?
Yes.
I know that.
And
I know.
Like this, right?
Right, now. And it's good right now. And mm-hmm. So a lot of people are probably like, wait till the market goes down. We'll see if you, you know, swim, Felicia. Well, one, I hope that I do. And two, I tell you one thing that Felicia will be ready for is I'll have some money in the bank and I'll be ready to buy again.
Investments.
Yep. I'll be ready to do that again. So real estate is a beautiful thing, mm-hmm. and you can become very wealthy on it, obviously. We all kind of know that. It's one of the number one wealth growing businesses in the world, real estate. So, but I was still even part-time, I was still working 7 days a week. So year two, working 7 days a week, honest to goodness, again, I was killing myself.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick actually came into this office and he came up to this desk one night when I was on it at 11:30 at night, 12 o'clock at night, writing contracts. And he was like, why don't you give your notice? And I went, no, because who's going to give up a contracting
right.
job on mm-hmm. those kind of figures
RPA.
Every 2 weeks? Who's going to do that? You know,
mm-hmm.
where my real estate was, it was doing very well, But it's still to this day, I mean, you can have 6 deals close in a week. You could have 1 deal close in a month. It depends on how hard you work. And we always call it our pipeline, how much you're feeding your pipeline, because I'm not getting paid until 30, 45 days after I get a contract in escrow, right? There is no consistent paycheck there.
Right.
So to most people, I think that's terrifying. To me, it was terrifying. To Nick, he was doing good on the fire department and he wanted his wife back.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
And my kids too. And so I was doing the same thing that I was on the flying schedule, but now I was using all my extra time to do real estate. And he said, no, give your 2 weeks. Well, Nick, if you know Nick on a personal level, he is a investment brain, savings kind of guy. We do really well together because we're always brainstorming and trying to build our wealth together, and we're a great team. And I thought, for sure, he's going to go to bed. He's going to wake up the next morning and he's going to be like, well, you know, I meant like, you know, in 2 years, give your notice. That's honest to God. I'm like, yeah, right. Yeah, right. He wants me to give my 2 weeks notice.
Mm-hmm.
And the next morning I was getting ready for work and I was like, have you thought about what you told me yesterday? And he goes, yeah. He's like, give him your 2 weeks. And I was like, no way. Like, this is crazy.
It's never been done before.
This is crazy.
Slow down.
Yeah, this is crazy. Because I had 2 years. Now I had 2 amazing years. And again, one was super part-time. Then the next one was a little bit more, but it still wasn't full-time. And real estate, you know?
You haven't been doing it long enough to see the trend.
Right.
I had
two solid years to look at my income.
Right.
The first year I was matching what I was making. The second year I was already doing better than what I was making as a contractor. So yeah, I had great figures to go off of. But who's to say that when I...
And the market's doing
this. And the market's coming up. Exactly. Right? So I did. I went up there. I went up there and I...
Hair back, hands dude, back in the hair.
I remember like flying up to Crete. Oh, this is going to be the best day ever. No, but my boss that's still up there and my boss that let me go part-time, I owe a lot to him too.
Yes.
And yeah, I really, really do. I think he's a great man. He always was there during my fertility stuff when I needed to go and get blood drawn every other day and things like that. He was phenomenal to me. So I tip my hat to him too. And he's always wished me well. And I wish him well, 100%.
Yep.
Never, never, never burn bridges, people.
No.
And I finished my sortie that day. And I remember being in a room full of coworkers that look at me like I'm the oldest person in the room. Because I'd been up there for 9 years as a contractor, right? And I finished my grade sheet. I signed it. And I said, all right, I'm going to go give somebody my 2 weeks. And they went, yeah, right. And I'm like, all right, seriously. And I just walked out. And I did not give him my 2 weeks. I literally said, use me for as long as you need. If you need me for 6 weeks, whatever. I wasn't on a time crunch. Right. I just knew that I was done, that I wanted to try something different, that I saw opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I think I could grow this. I think I can make my own hours. I think I could see my kids every single day. This would be a great thing for us. And God forbid, worst case scenario, if I needed to sell my house and downsize to live off of just Nick's income, Nick and I have always been prepared to do that. I've always been prepared to make the necessary cuts to have a family.
Keep your head above the water.
Yeah. If we had to, right? So yeah. There's outs. There's outs there. And
driving back to Creech.
Yeah. And so I told him that. I said, you know, I'm not trying to give you my 2 weeks. Use me till whenever. It was bumping up to the holidays. I think they used me for either 4 or 5 weeks, something like that. And it was pretty much right before Christmas. He's like, you can exit. Everybody's taking leave. You can exit right around then.
Cool.
So I did. And that's nerve-wracking. That's nerve-wracking.
Yes.
And I remember thinking, can I do this? Because now the weight kind of sits on my shoulders for sure. I'm talking about pressure, physical pressure, because now I'm going to go from just seeing money hit my account every 2 weeks to making it myself. Mm-hmm. I got to go out there and make it myself.
Gotta be hungry.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with my drive. I've always got drive. Mm-hmm. I've always got vision. And I know that we live in the best country there is in the world. So there's always opportunity, right? You have to have vision and passion and go after it. And I remember leaving base my last day.
Right.
And having mixed emotions, and I don't know if you believe in God or not. I do. And as I was driving home, my phone rang, as God is my witness on my kids' lives. My phone rang 3 times with leads in a 30-minute drive home. And that was all the signal or the message that I needed that, yes, I was doing the right. I swear, it was one of the most amazing things that ever happened to me. 3 leads on my way home, and I thought, I'm going to be okay. It was instant peace. Right, and then I couldn't make any phone numbers while passing the prison on Highway 95. Exactly.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, which was a great 30-minute drive every day for making phone calls, by the way.
Yes.
And that was literally my signal that you're going to be okay. And from that point on, I still work my ass off, but I see my kids every morning. I see my kids every night. Yeah. I don't miss soccer games unless, you know, it's something super cosmic.
Yeah.
I take my kids with me to work because nobody's going to tell me that I can't.
I've seen your videos. I've seen the kids walking around like, this is the bathroom and flipping the lights on. I think that's cute, man. I enjoy it.
I like them seeing me work. I like them seeing me work, and I'm probably way more hardcore than most people. I typically think that I'm sure people look at us like we are very, maybe strict parents. Example, if I go through a Del Taco drive-thru and I buy them food, I let them know how much money it is. And I let them know that Dad's not here right now because he's at the fire station making money so that we can get a quesadilla and a little soda. Like, that's not free. I remember about 2 years ago, my oldest son said something along the lines, he wanted something. And he said something along the lines of, well, use your ATM card. There's money on there. Well, think about that. And I went, that makes sense. Because from a kid's perspective, you swipe it and you get what you want. Mm-hmm. And I went, whoa.
You put those cards up high now.
Yeah. Well, first of all, there's a whole thing now that I know I need to address. And so now I love seeing them. I love having them see me work. I take them along, and that's who I am. And I usually will, you know, I'm not trying to be unprofessional. You know, certain clients may not necessarily want or have kids around. That's okay. But if that's ever a problem where I pick up my kids or I may have to have them with me for a showing, if that's ever a problem, then we probably shouldn't be working together because this is who I am. And I'm not trying to do it all the time, but this is who I am. And you probably have somebody else that's more like you or can represent you the way that you want to be represented. I'm okay with that. It's nice to be in a position to pick and choose your clients.
It's true.
You know? So I love having my kids around. We discuss, directions, GPS, literally cardinal directions. Where's your easterly sun? Where's your westerly sun on this house? You know, where are my sheep range mountains? And every moment is an opportunity for education. And so I get to do all that stuff with them.
They don't get coloring books, do they? They get contracts that they fill out with.
Yeah, letters. Exactly. They get MLS sheets. Actually, you're not even. So I have so much scrap paper MLS sheets. I staple it and I put Nolan's coloring book and that's what he gets to use. Yes. But, no, they come with me. Nick comes with me. Nick comes with me all the time. Nick, on his days off, will drive me around town to different appointments just so, one, we can get some time together.
Yeah.
And two, our phones are amazing devices nowadays. I can get so much work done not driving. So it's truly become a whole family affair. But it's funny. It's just it went from Felicia as a waitress and a college student. I need medical, I need something, I need to do something for myself, and then Felicia to the Air Force, and then we couldn't get pregnant. Okay, what do we do? Well, I have this beautiful contracting job that makes good money, you know. Okay, we did that. Then we started using that money to pick up investment properties, and then, okay, what else can I do for growing this? I'm going to go get my real estate license, and now that bush, you know, took me on to a whole different path, and now I've got my own company, my own business, my own team. We're specializing in VA. I think we're probably one of the biggest names, in my personal opinion, at Creech, and helping people buy, sell, and rent. And I found my niche, and it all came back to the Air Force.
Circle of life.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the honorary commander thing.
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen?
Oh, I've got good friends. So started to ask. I had two people, one that was in the 15th. Actually, I had two people in the 15th, and I had one person at the 22nd. And again, I won't mention names, but they all three of them were like, you should be an honorary commander. I said, yeah, I want to do that. Yes, I want to do. You know why, Kelso?
Because it's awesome.
I wanted to see everybody again.
Right.
That was a big chapter of my life. That was 13 years of my life. that was office chatter and relationships. And there's always that part of you that may miss it a little bit.
You got your foot back in the door.
I did. And that was
good for networking.
Thank you. Yes, there's
you're tapping into your market in just a different way. But I'm sure, no, I don't know anything about honorary career because I'm not one, but I'm sure that gives you opportunity to provide or to do something to back for them.
100%.
So that's got to be very rewarding.
Yeah.
Since they did so much for you and, you know.
And I know the military life. I know the military life. I know the military lingo. I know what you're doing. I know what it feels like to sit in a seat for 7 hours and look at a building. I know what it feels like to sit in an office with no windows on a beautiful spring day. Like, I get it. I actually get it. And I'm still making my relationships, and then a lot of those guys and gals don't know me, you know, from my military life, but I'm trying, you know, I'm trying to let them know, like, I really do get it. I think I made a good impression. My first kind of public speaking event for the 22nd was at the Christmas party.
How was that?
It was great. I walked in and I announced to everybody that I extended the bar tab by an hour. So.
Fan favorite.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I mean, we know.
Best commander ever.
Booze is always welcome. See, I speak their language.
Yes.
But yes, it gives me an avenue to give back. I have a business. I have a good business. And I need a vessel to give from even a business aspect. Who better to give back to than that whole life? So, and I love it. I read a lot of inspirational reading. I read a lot of leadership books and business books and all of that stuff.
Me too. It's a boring library for my wife.
I love it. And right now I'm reading Extreme Ownership. Based off of Navy SEALs that are writing. And it's an amazing,
I think I saw that picture.
It's an incredible book. I actually last night told Nick I was excited to go to sleep to wake up the next morning to read that book. It's that inspiring. But I remember listening to a podcast. It was a real estate podcast, actually. And this gentleman who has created extreme wealth for himself said, I knew that I made it in life when I had the ability to just give and give to whoever I wanted to freely. And I truly believe in that. And anybody that knows me on a personal level knows that I like giving. It's actually something I enjoy, you know. But being able to choose who you give to, what, when, how much, that's I think shows you how far you've come. I mean, there was a time when I was younger where all I wore was hand-me-down clothes. My shoes didn't fit. I lived in a trailer. We didn't have anything. We didn't have anything, you know. And now I can give to who I want, and I've got the most badass outlet being an honorary commander. So it's something that last December I took over, and I can't wait.
So it was September 2018 you got the honorary commander thing.
And
is that a permanent position? Is that something where you can just support?
Yes, sir.
And it's just a squadron, right?
It's a squadron.
Just a squadron. Mm-hmm.
So the 15th.
You're going to move up to the group next?
I don't know. You know what? It's like a home, you know? Yeah. The 22nd became a. And it's funny because my scarf is sitting behind you from the 15th Reconnaissance Squadron when there were only two squadrons. And so the 15th had put in a package for me. And the 22nd had put in a pack. There was two simultaneous packages
for the honorary commander. Oh, that's cool.
And I got it. The 22nd was the first one to get back to me, essentially. And I'm like, yep, I'll take it, you know. That's awesome. I thought, man, that would have been pretty cool, though, the 15th, because that was my first squadron I was ever in. Mm-hmm. But it's funny because we still share hallways. So, yeah, I'll still make my way up there. I'm trying to plan some stuff to get up there for some night missions and bring some food up and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you even get on base?
They got me an ID.
I got
an honorary commander cat card. Yeah, I got a cat card. They just got that squared away from me so I can stop bugging everybody.
Yeah,
but I can get on and off base now, obviously, getting in and out of buildings. And I don't have access to beyond the solid doors when the red lights are on and stuff like that.
They're not letting you back in the seat,
are they? Yeah, no.
Honorary commander shot.
Nope. But I know. I know what's going on back there. We don't have to talk about it. I get it, you know? And I just get to do the fun stuff, you know, buy the booze, buy the food, things that I just recently did was, they were having a lot of their hail and farewells at the YMCA, which mind you, you know, it's free. Thank you YMCA for free space and stuff like that. I'm like, man, we could do better. we could do better than this space. Let's go do something. And made a connection with the City Center National Arena where the Vegas Golden Knights practice.
Yeah.
And that's kind of our little hub on where we can now have Helen Farewells.
That's cool.
And
namings?
No, that doesn't happen anymore, Kelso.
You know,
do you remember my name? Do you remember my call sign? Yours is Hijack.
Yes,
right?
It is. I cannot remember your call sign.
I got a cool one.
I thought I had something to do with shooting.
It did.
Ah, shit.
Slayer.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was a cool that's one. Cool. I don't even know how I got lucky on that one.
Was that after your kilo shot?
Papa shots. After two Papa shots. Yeah.
Did you shoot the kilos?
We did. Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I got a kilo shot. It was my only health bar.
Oh.
A kilo though.
Yeah. Hey, did it hit what it was supposed to?
Yeah.
There you go.
Hit the target. That's all.
Yeah. So, but yeah, now it's just such an amazing avenue for me to give back, and it's been so much fun, and I feel like I'm just getting started. I don't even know, you just said, I don't know what Honorary Commander, you know, does. I don't either. All I know is they ask me to come to things, and I go, well, we can improve this, or we can go do this, or this sounds cool, and it's like being a, I don't know, like a soccer mom, or a, you know, sideline person, bringing the treats, and Robert, you guys are doing a good job, you know? That's about it. I see them at the bar.
Yeah.
They buy drinks.
We did have one in the third. We had an honorary commander.
Nice.
I don't know if he lived here or not, but he used to show up at our parties and stuff like that and go, you know, he would provide the lithos.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's about as much as I ever got to see. I didn't get to see any behind the scenes stuff.
I have ideas. I sit in bed and I think about, well, we could do this or this, or this would be cool. So I definitely have ideas and we'll see where it goes. I'm excited.
It's definitely a new venture for you. And
It's been awesome. I just went to a change of command.
Yeah.
And they were more than generous with gratitude. More so than I even expected. I don't need it. You know, I really would actually almost like to be the fly on the wall. Mm-hmm. You know, but they've been just awesome.
So with the honorary commander stuff and kind of getting your face back up at Creech, you've been doing that for a while before with the real estate stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you've been doing real estate. You started real estate when? 2013?
Oh,
2014. So now, 5 years in the making. At what point did you kind of, and I don't really want to bring up the whole incident. You know, that's, it was a darker time or whatever when all that stuff came out. But you obviously went underground for a while for security purposes, which I believe a couple other people did as well. Mm-hmm. I don't really know the details.
It was
about that,
right after I had my first son that I was pretty much pulled aside into a room and said, "Hey, yeah, this is an issue." And I said, "Yeah, I didn't even actually." You know what? The phone calls were coming in about Felicia. There's this book and your name's in it, and
it is what it is.
It was
it
on
happened.
The shelf.
Yep. So you went under for a while, and eventually you got back on social media.
Mm-hmm.
You got back out there.
Just recently.
And yes.
Just
it
recently.
It did feel like it was within the last year or so.
Two years. On the heels of me doing real estate.
And you kind of have to.
Yeah.
You can't be a secret real estate clandestine agent.
Especially, well, again, I'm just hitting on opportunity. I just feel like everything in life, there's opportunity. Facebook world. That wasn't around, you know, X amount of years ago. We have a Facebook world. That is a place to network. Every
market.
Single day.
Yep.
For free.
Yes.
For free, people. If you have a business and you don't have a Facebook page, you
got
to have one.
No, I got
you know?
Mine. I get new stuff every week.
It's free.
Week. It's awesome.
Going back to my dad being a real estate agent when I was younger, and honestly, seeing anybody the old school way to do real estate, it was postcards and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but 99% of my bills are online. And so if anything comes in the mail, I mean, it's typically trash.
Yeah.
If you're spending thousands of dollars on postcards, in my personal opinion,
it's a waste of money.
It is literally the same as shredding your money.
Yeah.
But social media, that's where it's at.
It's huge.
It's huge.
So how did that discussion, did you have that discussion with Nick? Like, hey,
I think
it's time for me to
get
myself back out
it
in
was
the
all,
world.
It all,
I have to do this.
It revolved around the real estate business.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it revolved around.
So which came first? You making
real
the decision to transition into real estate and then going, oh my gosh, I've made the decision now to quit my contracting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
how am I going to market myself if I don't get back out there?
Yeah, you know, it naturally occurred yet again, and it was like an epiphany. Things sometimes happen, and they're all educational moments, you know? It's whether you want to look at it as an educational moment or not, but I got my first Facebook PM. I didn't even know what a Facebook PM was, but I got my first Facebook PM.
Poke.
Yeah. I didn't know. I was like, what is that?
Message poke?
I don't know what that is, but whatever. But I got my first Facebook Messenger from somebody that I did not have their phone number. They did not have my phone number. Mm-hmm. But, hey, I saw that you were doing real estate because I did some kind of little post, right? And I have a friend who's going to be moving out there this summer. And there was a connection. Bam. And I went, oh, shit. I need to do a little bit more real estate. And so, and I'm somebody, I hope that everybody realizes it, but I'm somebody who does a little bit of family on my Facebook. I do a little bit of my personal stuff, things that I enjoy. I'm a crazy plant lady. I like plants. I have a new puppy. I like doing that stuff. And then I'll do a real estate post. I don't want to inundate people sometimes with all of it, but I did drop it. And then I got another Facebook PM. And I'm like, shit, man, I need a Facebook business page, don't I? Yeah. You know, like.
You start weighing the risk, reward.
Yeah, yep, 100%.
Got to get out there.
Yeah, I got to put myself out there. I got to market. I got to do all that stuff.
Was that a difficult transition for you?
No.
I was okay with it. You know what? It's been a long time.
Yeah.
And you felt comfortable.
Well, I also feel like the drone program was so specific to, like, when I was in, it was two squadrons.
Yeah.
It was two squadrons. And then, yeah, and then a third. And then Creech was developed. And now it's a wing. And now there are more.
It's all across the world.
It's all over the, to watch that grow the way it did was unbelievable. And again, I can't use any other word but blessed to be a part of it. 100% blessed, because now everybody that I've networked to for the last 15 plus years of my life, they're now, like I said, it's such a natural thing, the military, right? Mm-hmm. Whenever somebody gets stationed somewhere, go, hey Kelso, where do I get my haircut? Hey Kelso, where's a good Mexican restaurant?
I asked for restaurants. Hey Kelso, here. Love that Thai place.
Right?
Oh my gosh, so, fantastic.
Right? So, but that's what we do. Right. As a military family, we uproot, we go relocate, and then we go to our military family and go, where do I go for this? Where's the best school? Who's the best realtor?
Mm-hmm.
Who can help me buy a house? Who can help me rent? And now that this has blown up, I mean, my clients are I'm picking out houses for people out of state. They fly in for a weekend. They fly out. And I call those seeds in business. I say planting a seed. Because once I close one deal and I have one happy person, they're now a seed that hopefully I have watered and grown. And they are going to go out. And they, when people like you and enjoy working with you and believe in you and you're honest and all that stuff, networking naturally happens.
Comes easy.
It just happens. So between free social media, getting to know the right people and putting myself in the right path, doing a good job, working hard, being honest, cyclical in the military. People want to hand out your information. And I am just so gosh dang appreciative. I'm doing some pretty nice, you know, referral things this year. I can't get into a lot of it, but yeah. Right. So.
Cool. So this year, as recently, you got on board with American Dream TV.
Yes.
And when did that start? How's that going? How did you even get involved in that?
Okay.
I know.
My life
might
is
be
one,
a long story
no, it's
here,
not.
But
it's
I find
funny.
It interesting.
It's funny again. It's funny yet
was
again.
Was Nick on the toilet?
No, not this time. Was he? I don't know. We honestly. That's
how do you
a,
do it a show?
That's a lot of close TMI, but man, I do. Okay. I go stalk him. I'll talk to him right through the door. And he's like, Kenya, give me my space. I'm like, okay. You know, it was funny. It was something I didn't want to go to. I would have emails and people trying to contact me. And in my business, that happens a lot.
Right.
And people are networking on the real estate side. The networking is, it's hardcore, man. You know, because lenders want to work with you. Title mm-hmm. companies want to work with you.
Loan officers,
when you start doing well.
All that
yeah.
stuff.
And that's, it's a lot. And I've definitely had to learn how to say, hey, I'm happy with the people I'm using. I can't, you know, I'm good. But, so I was, they were, a certain person was reaching out to me over and over. Hey, I'm going to be in town. Hey, I want you to come to this lunch, please. You're a very select few. Trust me, this is not a joke. And I went, I really don't want to go. And I actually talked about it because I brought on a partner. So I kind of talked about it with her. She goes, you know, you should go. I'm a workaholic. I work a lot. Excuse me, naturally. And I was outside. And the day that lunch was happening was a day that I had open. Is a day to myself. So how hard is that when you have a day to yourself to fill it with something that you're not really jazzed about? And the day before, I called Nick, my partner in crime, my buddy, mm-hmm. my sounding board, and I was like, there's this thing. And you and I had a day tomorrow. And I was not selling it. I was totally negative about it. Mm-hmm. And he goes, Fish, a lot of people call me Fish. He goes, Fish, just go. And if it's some big networking thing and you don't like it, leave. That's all he said. And I'm like, that makes so much sense. You know, it just makes so much sense.
Voice of reason.
Yes. And it was a lunch. And he's like, go have lunch, you know. So I went. I actually wore this dress. It's so funny. I wore this dress. I just put on a little sundress. And I casually kind of went. And I opened up the door and I realized there was like, I don't know, maybe four or five eight person tables. So it was very intimate. I went, mm-hmm. oh shit, this is actually kind of intimate.
Hard to sneak out of this one.
Yeah, it was going to be hard to sneak. Yeah, the waiters, waitresses were coming around. Mm-hmm. It was a served lunch. It was very nice. And I also have to say that I felt completely out of place. Because I looked around the room and everybody's suited and booted, man. I mean, they're doing good. I'm doing good. I'm doing very well right now. And I was doing good back then. But I haven't been in the business for 20 and 25 years right. and all that stuff. And
this is my day off.
This is my day off. Put on a little sundress and I'm just going to go in. And I'm talking like, you know, everybody had their silk, you know, what are these things called? And they're in their suits. They had their
the,
little silk.
Corsage?
No, the silk hankies that like prom. Stick out. Whatever.
The pocket square.
Yeah. So yeah, they had their pocket squares.
I'm thinking of prom.
Their hair slicked. They're full suits. And I'm like, hi, I'm Felicia. You know, I'm just bubbly and they're very stoic and very mm-hmm. business and all this stuff. And I met a gentleman, Bill Gaylord, who is one of my friends now. And he's a lender in town. And he was kind of one of the people that put me in contact with the show.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I'm meeting everybody and saying hi, and they made us go around the room and do the standard introduction because it was a small room. It was an intimate thing, which I wasn't expecting. I was kind of expecting this big showboaty thing.
Is this an audition that you didn't even realize?
Yes, and they knew who I was. They already knew. It was so crazy, shaking hands and stuff like that, and they're like, don't think you're here for no reason. So, you know, there's ways that here in Vegas they rack and stack realtors, and there you get a number and how much deals you do, and I've done well and I've done good on those lists, you know, and
your top 100 female
thank
Las
you
Vegas,
yes so a lot those of people lists. Were picked off of like, you know, those type of numbers and all that stuff, but they went around the room and hi, my name is so-and-so, I own my brokerage, I've been doing this for 25 years, you know, and the whole freaking room, and God is my witness, again it comes back to my table, and I'm like, I think I was the third to last person. I hopped up and I'm like, and I told Nick at one point, I'm like, I'm gonna own this shit. I'm just gonna own it, you know, like, cause the whole room was like, I've been doing this for my whole life, and they just looked wealthy, you know.
Yes.
And I stood up and I was like, I've been doing this for like 3 years, you know, and I primarily work with military, and you know, I just respect my military. I love it. I'm super patriotic. Anybody that knows me, and right. So I stood up and said, that's my niche. I'm a veteran. I like representing my VA. A lot of people aren't doing it. I'm doing it. I'm mm-hmm. proud to do it. I've noticed that I don't need 25 years of experience. I just threw it back at the audience. Yeah. I don't need that. I just need to be a hard worker and have open communication and be honest. And I've learned that those three key characteristics can get me far in life. And I saw a lot of head nodding. And I shook a lot of hands that day and stuff. And I guess the moral of the story is don't ever be afraid to be who you are. And I've mm-hmm. never been afraid to tell my story. I've never been afraid to own who I am, even when I'm new at something. Again, if somebody doesn't want to work with me because I don't have 25 or 30 years, that's okay. You know, I almost sometimes guarantee you I'm going to work harder than somebody that may have been in it a while.
Complacent.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know. So I owned it, and I met people, and they were selecting a handful of people. You're right. You're absolutely right when you said an audition that I didn't know about. Mm-hmm. It was an audition that I did not know about. And I left there, and Bill, again, he's kind of like the center point for the show out here in Vegas, the contact, if you will, called me the next day and was like, we want you. We want you to do this. Are you interested? And again, I was like, I don't know. I don't know. It's always like, I don't know. It's been such a cool platform. And you can make it what you want it. That's the fun part. They really let you come up with the ideas. And you have an awesome freaking film crew.
Yes.
Creative Collective Media here. And Robert and Stu are my my guys, they're the best. They've taught me kind of how to do this and what may appear good on camera, what may not. But the thing that I've been really having a lot of fun with is telling the stories of Las Vegas. The stuff that a lot of people aren't telling. Kelso, I'm not the person that's selling the $25 million homes every day. I'm selling to military, and I'm selling, probably my average would be between $300,000 to $500,000, somewhere in there. That's like my bread and butter, right? That's kind of where all my military is using their VA loans, between three and five. And that's okay. That's me. You can go do the $1 million stuff. That's me, right? And I thought, man, I'm also a mom. I want to showcase Vegas as a place to raise a family. Man, I'm also a vet. I'm proud of that. Let's showcase that. And they've been so lenient with letting me kind of come up with concepts and helping me shoot it. And it's just been a lot of fun. Honestly, it's a lot of work. Right, Robert? It's a lot of work. Because it's a lot of takes. It's feeling comfortable on camera is a whole other, it's a whole other beast. But it's been a lot of fun.
Do you think that the show will propel your branding
to
a new level?
100%. Again, it's just ironic opportunity, and it's not even so much about the sales or like how many clients I pick up from it. It's almost the people that you meet, upward and onward. You know, I just met a gentleman the other day because he's seen the clips. He knows Bill. Bill brought me to. It's networking. It's rubbing elbows with this person, rubbing elbows with this person. You know, 3 days ago, I was shaking hands with the president and COO of the Vegas Golden Knights at an event through a person who I met through the American Dream. You know, like it's networking.
And it's exciting.
It's super exciting.
Anytime you get to meet somebody new and you get to engage in conversation, you get to learn new things, you get to discuss things.
I'm all about that. It's fantastic. I'm all about that.
Yep, I love that when I did real estate.
I'm all about that. And I was never handed anything in life. I've kind of been figuring this out. And now I'm at my age and I'm reading my books where it's like, man, what can I learn from you? What can I learn from you? I am a sponge. I'm ready to soak it up. I'm not that kid who doesn't want to not listen to their parents.
Yeah.
I'm the kid still that wants to listen. Like, give it to me. You know how? So, you know, just about a week or so ago, I was meeting with an individual that Bill introduced me to, who is a veteran, and he's one of the top realtors here in Vegas, and he does so much for our veterans behind the scenes. It's awe-inspiring. And he's honestly leading. And I thought, man, I want to be on your team, i.e. I want to be heading the charge for our veterans here in Las Vegas. So now him and I are collaborating on how to give back and how to make this bigger.
He's going
to
be the 15th honorary commander.
You know what? This man's got so much on his plate. It's insane. We're talking about trying to go and change laws at the federal level. For example, let's use me for an example, or Carmen. I just brought a lady on my team. Her name's Carmen. She was a client of mine, and now she works for me. And she is a military spouse. She just got her real estate license here in Las Vegas. What if husband gets orders to Colorado? Mm-hmm. She moves, her license is null and void. She no longer has a job.
Right.
That's not right. That's not right. It's not right that while we are, you know, picking up and moving to another state, because we've been told and because we're serving our country, that we're also at the same time losing our job.
Do you think the fix for that is some sort of transitionary test where...
Yes, 100%.
All right, this state is different than this state. Here's the differences. Yep. And take that test and now you're licensed.
Yes. And if you're active, and if you're active, and if you're serving our country, and if you've gotten orders to move, then there should be things like that set in place. And I'm not saying for like every single career field, but I bet you there's a big old chunk when we sit down and look at it. Teachers, nurses, realtors, just because I know that, just a bunch of it that should be able to transfer, and you shouldn't wind up without a job just because you're doing what's an amazing thing, a selfless thing, and serving your country.
Right.
And so he's got this vision, and man, he gets me fired up. It's good to be in a room filled with people like that, that inspire you and stuff. So him and I are actually meeting in the next week or so again to see we could put our two heads together, you know, everything, funds, what we need to do to make it work.
Brainstorm.
And if I can use the platform of the American Dream to highlight issues or things that can be fixed, or why not? It's not, and the real estate will come. It's a real estate program, right? It's a real estate program. They've got the top few agents in big cities all over the country. It's a nationwide show. It's amazing. Everybody's telling their stories. And sure, of course I want to talk real estate and cool stuff like that, but it is a platform. It's a platform. Use it for what you want. So the real estate leads, those are going to happen. But let's also try to fix things and become better. And it gets, probably you're watching my body. I get super excited. The things that
no,
him and I
love it.
The things that him and I are talking about, it's just really powerful stuff. And if we could maybe make a couple tweaks here in Vegas to help our veterans and help our military, while I'm a real estate agent and while I'm using a cool platform that I've been handed and things like that, then yes is the answer.
How long is this show? Or how long are you on the show? Or how long, I mean, what?
Until I get an email saying, we no longer want you.
Until you're fired.
Robert, do you know anything that I don't know? Is the email coming in anytime soon?
I have no clue. So I
don't know until that email comes through.
Okay, so this is just something that you're going to have basically accessible for an unknown amount of time.
Essentially about once a month. They give me the ability to tape about once a month. And honestly, it's a lot. It's a lot of work.
Is this a seasonal show? Is this like
season one
or is this?
Oh yeah, they have their seasons. What they do is they do a compilation too all over the country. So they'll like coming to you from Nashville, this person coming to you, and then when your clip makes it on that national level, it airs on Sundays. That's cool. But they also hand me my little clip on Facebook. It's funny. You want to hear some back scenes type stuff?
Of course.
They don't show me the full clip at all until it actually posts on my Facebook. So they have access to my business Facebook page, and they drop it. Boop, boop. So the first time I'm seeing it,
is other people,
everybody else is seeing it. Yeah. So people are like texting me this, and I'm like, oh God, let's see how this one came out. But we have awesome videographers, and they, I mean, Robert's kind of, I'm trying to even sit here. He's like, Robert's like, sit up straight. I'm like, okay.
I've been leaning back.
You know, I know. He tries to help me out, but the video thing is quite different than taking, you know, a selfie at a nice angle. It's completely different.
It's all about the angles though.
Ooh, man, is it about the angles. It was funny because my first episode that they shot was, I still wasn't really wearing heels. Because I had double knee surgery exactly 1 year ago, almost
ACL?
This month. Yeah, full ACL replacement.
Me too, left knee.
Yeah, mine was right. And then meniscus and just like a clean out of my left. I had double knee surgery, same time. And this one was a cadaverton and they reconstructed my knee. So I was walking. They made me walk. It was not fun. But Nick carried me to show houses.
I was going to say.
He carried me up and down. He carried me and would plop me in like the middle of a kitchen. I'd be like, what do you guys think of that room? You know what I mean?
Adult baby carrying.
Oh, walker. I mean, the whole nine.
Holes in a backpack
the whole nine. But that first episode, I did one on Red Rock. And I already knew. I didn't want to go down to the strip. I didn't want the lights. I wanted to showcase things that I personally enjoy.
And what veterans buying a house in the strip or an apartment?
Whole thing. I just want to, I'm proud of this city. You know, I really am. I never thought that I would be raising a family in Las Vegas. I'm not only raising a family, we're loving it. We are embracing it. We love our mountains. We love our hikes. We love our neighbors. I mean, there's a lot. We love no bugs. I love, there's a lot of things that I love about Las Vegas. And so instantly I knew I want to do something different. Let's go do Red Rock. And then I was also selling a few homes in the Reverence community, which is a big Polte development, kind of building themselves into Red Rock. And I thought we could combo that, you know? But I was heavy. I was like 10 pounds heavier because I wasn't working out, anything like that. So they're like, hey, let's tape you for a national segment, you know? And I'm like, wonderful. And instantly, Nick was like, wear this dress. And I remember the dress, and the day of taping, I'm sitting there, I'm like, I was so nervous. I'm a curvy girl. Kelsey, I'm a curvy girl, but then I was a curvy girl with some weight on her, and I'm like,
and Nick,
you know,
knew what dress to pick out.
He picked it out, and I wanted to wear pants and
a
jacket.
Way to make it harder for all of us now.
I wanted to wear pants and a jacket, and actually, it was nice pants. It was a sparkly type shirt, and it was an actual coat covered my butt, all of it. And it was not just Nick; it was my partner Lacey. They're standing in my bedroom, and they're both like, "Wear the dress," and I'm like, I was just so. Could you tell I was nervous, Robert? Oh my gosh, I was so nervous. Not to mention, I still couldn't even walk well. So I was also in heels. trying to walk up and down stairs, trying not sounding like I was out of breath.
I wasn't worried about the clothes. Oh, I've been worried about getting weak knees there.
Yeah, so, you know, the camera, they definitely get all angles, but it's just a cool platform.
That
it's just
awesome.
Something that, yeah, just happened.
What do you think's next? What's on the horizon?
You've been building my personal goals
since you were a waitress.
Yeah.
So what is
retirement?
What is Felicia's empire going to look like?
Well, you know, some people want to continue building wealth for the rest of their life, and some people want to enjoy their life at some point. And I'm making something. This company that I'm building will hopefully continue to produce income for me even when I'm not around, because I'm going to have the right people in place.
Your team.
My team that's going to go and be Felicia. You know what I mean? They're good women so far. Nothing against men. I just don't have a man on my team right now.
Nope,
but they're amazing women. They're mothers. They understand that those kind of odd work schedules.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind people. They're humble people. They're people that I want to associate myself with. And they're people that I'm proud to send out on listings or with buyers and feel completely comfortable with. Felicia can now go on vacation. Because I wasn't going on vacation because people were flying in and they needed to see homes. So Felicia can now do vacation. So I would say, where do I see? Nick and I have goals, you know, and in the next 5 years, I have financial goals. And I see myself hopefully traveling a lot with my kids around those middle school years, a lot, and still having a company in place and coming back to Vegas as a hub home and things like that. But hopefully I will have built my business to be able to do that. So Nick and I want to live. You know, it's sad, all the statistics and watching people retire and be out of their prime and not being able to do the hikes or see the pretty scenery or do any of the fun stuff because they're well past their prime. Or Nick and I, it's not expiration date as in, you know, you've expired, but like past the time frame where you can really love and enjoy some of the fun things in life. I want to enjoy them while I can, you know? And I want to do it with my kids. My boys, as soon as they're of age, hopefully I've made kind-hearted, productive men. And they're off and they're doing their own big, great adventure. And my job is done being a mom. And that was it. You blink and our moment with our kids is gone. And I'm very, very aware of that. I'm just extremely aware of that right now, watching them grow every day. I feel like they're they just don't need me even. It's like I'm doing a good job. I must have done a good job because they get up and they make their breakfast and they do all this stuff by themselves. But I want to enjoy some really hardcore years. In my personal opinion, I feel like middle school ages are the time in life where I've seen a lot of people lose their children. Those are hard ages. You either go with the good crowd or you go with the bad crowd. You make good decisions, you make bad decisions. I've seen, looking back again, a lot of people kind of go astray there, right?
Those lies you were talking about.
Yes, exactly. And I told Nick, let's do the opposite. Let's maybe do something a little not traditional. And let's maybe pull them in towards the home instead of letting them go out. And let's go enjoy our kids around those ages. Maybe they won't like me. I don't know. Get back to me in like 4 years. Maybe your kids will hate me and I won't have good kids or all that stuff. And that will be
it's
a whole other
to
thing.
You.
I don't know. But I hope that we've raised people that want to go. And I told Nick it's a different kind of education. You know, we may do some long distance learning and go see the country. And the way I envision it is, you know, hey, Nolan, I want to see the White House on Saturday. You're in charge of booking the tour. Here's your money. You're in charge of transportation, how we're going to get from point A to point B. We do 15 to 20% gratuity when we eat out. And you know the cool thing, too, is right now I've never been to Washington, D.C., believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. So while my son is learning about the White House or whatever, I'm learning. I'm the student. I'm like, let's flip that script. Let's learn this together. So that's my idea. But, you know, my house is close, hopefully, to being, you know, paid off.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, you know, our timeline on that. And we've got brackets that we have to hit to be able to go and do that. And we're hitting them. So that's what I see for me personally, is building a company that is going to obviously work without Felicia always there, you know. But Vegas is always going to be our hub, I think. I think this home is always going to be our hub. and then going out and traveling. And once my kids go on and up and out, I don't know. I have no idea. I hope that Nick and I are enjoying ourselves somewhere on a big piece of property. I always have to work. So, you know, we already manage an Airbnb. I see myself doing something very similar on in my retirement years, where I could like manage stuff when I want to, or consider something booked, you know, all year if I don't want to work. So I'm sure I'll always be doing things like that. Real estate is absolutely in the cards. We're diversifying the portfolio. We're out around the country buying here and there and trying to make those wise decisions. And real estate's always, always in the cards for Nick and I.
Yeah.
That's propelled us to where we are right now, you know? So whether it's me actually doing the buying, the selling, the renting, or building a brand, or buying real estate, I mean, it's going to be a part of our life. It just is. It is who we are.
Did you get your broker's license?
I did not.
Okay.
So I've got an awesome broker, and I thought about it. Honestly, you know what that's for? For me personally, it's to have the B on your business card. But I've got an awesome broker and an awesome brokerage that lets me rebrand and become who I want under them. So
that's cool.
That's awesome.
I was curious,
phenomenal.
You know, the whole, the, you know, the Rexford
group.
Group.
But I'm still with Vegas Dream Homes. So
okay.
Vegas Dream Homes is my brokerage, but I'm able to brand myself. As long as I'm always highlighting Vegas Dream Homes as the brokerage,
mm-hmm.
the Rexford Group can happen. As a realtor, you're your own entrepreneur. You're your own person, your entity, if you will. So if I want to call myself Felicia Rexford or the Rexford Group, that's my choice. If I want to put people underneath me and share my commissions, that's my choice. You know, everybody's going to get taxed, you know, at the end of the year and this, mm-hmm. that, the other. And my broker and my brokerage has allowed me to do that. So huge, huge amount of gratitude that I owe them for letting me do that. And you know what? It's funny because it's a very, very, we call it boutique brokerage, i.e. small. There's only a handful of high producing agents that work for this company. We don't see each other. We're off doing our own thing all the time. And my broker, he and she, they don't want to do what I'm doing. They've done their time.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually knocking on the retirement door, and they're kind of like, "Yeah, Felicia, whatever. Go do your videos. I don't do Instagram. Go do whatever." And I'm like, "Okay." So I mean, they're just awesome. They're just awesome people allowing me to do that. So everything that you see, all the rebranding, that's all me. That's all me laying in bed, not sleeping at night. What can we do next? And you know, it's been awesome.
I'm familiar, and it's tough. But
it's hard.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like you in that respect. I'm a workaholic.
Yeah.
And my wife's always pissed about it.
It's
so
sick. It's actually sick, like kind of sick in the head. Like I don't sleep well. I always tell people I don't sleep well because I wake up and I'm like, I got to do this. I got to do that. People like I just get feedback all the time. I'm sending out emails sometimes at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning because
mm-hmm.
I can't sleep. So I can either toss and turn and not sleep, or I can get up and knock out a couple hours of work. I'd rather get up and knock out a couple hours of work.
Yeah,
so
I don't have that choice. A lot of my clients are in the Middle East.
Yeah.
So for me, at 3 o'clock in the morning,
yep.
it's like noon for them or whatever.
Yep.
I don't have the conversion down
yep.
yet, but yeah, I get that stuff all the time, middle of the night. And
yeah.
I'm like,
why
are you awake?
I know.
Because I can't sleep.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really, really bad. It's not healthy. But then I'm like, well, I'm going to get all my work done before my kids wake up so that I can make them breakfast. It's funny, though, because I think I'm going to get ahead. You never really get ahead in your real estate, like paperwork and emails. You're never ahead. Because as soon as I open, I guarantee you, if I pick up my phone right now, I've got at minimum of 30 text messages. Minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows how many emails, and gosh knows how many voicemails.
Yes.
So it is constant. Did so.
So I got a question for you, for personal reasons.
Okay.
Ever since I was an agent, my phone won't stop getting scammed, how do you get rid of all these people calling you that have?
They have one hello.
No reason.
They have one hello, and
like,
they don't get the second.
It's like,
that's my thing. I'm
like
hello.
A dealership with a warranty. It's like,
yeah.
They don't leave me the hell alone.
I say hello.
Never
if they don't answer within 3 seconds, I'm hanging up.
There's got to be some sort of app or something out there that just...
You figure that out. You let me know.
All right, I'll tell you.
You let me know.
So if you had to give one piece of advice or one snippet to people that are maybe even already contracting,
mm-hmm.
That are doing the deployment work right now,
mm-hmm.
they're teaching at the FTUs, they are trying to build this wealth, this nest egg, if you will,
mm-hmm.
to move on to
mm-hmm.
a new career like you did, what would be the one thing that you say they need to absorb or kind of really focus on to get to turn away from that contract money? Because you know what it's like.
Yeah, it's good money.
And it's incredibly difficult to
yeah.
turn a blind eye to it. So
don't limit yourself. Don't limit yourself. I had many coworkers and friends and family who thought I was absolutely batshit crazy, like nuts. How are you going to do, you know? And they know me, and they even know my personality, and they know that when I go after something, I'm going to go after it. That's the crazy part, still looking back, that they didn't actually really believe, or maybe they were scared for me. I don't know, but don't limit yourself. I've talked about opportunity throughout this entire segment. Right. I truly believe in it. We do live in the best country there is in the world. You can be anything that you want to be. That's not just the bullshit that we're feeding our kids. It's not. You can do anything. If you have the passion and the drive and the commitment and the vision, gotta have vision and the heart, and you don't put those limits on yourself, you can do anything. I mean, and if you don't believe that, I mean, slap yourself in the face. We have so much opportunity. And as a contractor, you are 20 gazillion steps ahead of everybody else because you also have the finances. And if you don't, and if you don't have money in the bank, you're doing something wrong. I mean, if you don't have a large nest egg after a few years of working a contracting job, you need to reevaluate what you're spending money on. I do not need to keep up with the Joneses. Mm-hmm. I don't need to have the nicest shoes and purses and dresses. Can I make those decisions now? Yes, if I want to. Even now, it's so hard. I don't like spending money on myself. But again, that comes back from being poor at a very young age, you know? But if you're a contractor and you're making that money, and if you have any kind of want to do something else, it starts with saving. And I mean, read any business book out there.
Yeah.
You know? First, you have to figure out how to make a little bit of money. The Richest Man in Babylon is a really good book. It's a very basic book. It reads very much like biblical, but it's The Richest Man in Babylon. And what it is about, the whole foundation of it, is a young boy being kicked out by his dad and having to learn how to make money. And it's literally old school days, right? And he talks about a coin purse. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know, you got to get out there and work, make two coins. Put two coins in your purse, you know, and then you got to make a couple more coins. And until that your coin purse is full, then you need to learn pretty much how to invest it, you know. So how are you going to make your money make money for you? These are this is basic business.
Right.
So save, invest. If it's business or however you want to invest, then go in that direction. Don't be led by people that don't know what they're doing. Tap into the people that know what they're doing, that have already led the way and already broke through those boundaries. Mm-hmm. You don't need to know everything. Ask all the questions, you know, and then go do it. And do not put limits on yourself. And trust me, I was sitting in rooms with my coworkers, people that I really respect, really respect.
Yeah.
And watching them even put limits on themselves.
I think like, it's that's the just, fear.
It for sure.
It's the fear of losing security.
For sure, 100%. And I jumped.
How do you get over
it? And it was, you have to jump.
I
jumped. We jumped when we bought our first house, our first investment property. We pretty much drained our savings account, Kelso. I mean, every single penny that we had went into that house. And for the next year, we didn't do anything. And we saved and we saved and we saved and we saved. And guess what? We emptied our savings account again. Nick and I have done that together so many times. It's unbelievable. And now we're getting to the point where, you know, I was just offered to go invest in a restaurant in Washington, D.C., about 5 blocks away from the White House.
What?
We invested in a restaurant.
Nice.
It's opening up in the fall.
Better be good.
Up to two. I'm just going to show up. That's what I told him. I was just going to show up. You're going to come to the grand opening, right?
Best McDonald's in D.C.
But you get to make those decisions now. But it started from scraps. If you're blessed enough to be born into a family that may have some financial something, I mean, I hope to God you make something of yourself. But most of us have had to really claw at it, right? And if you're a contractor, I'm just speaking from past experience and our, like, what we do, right? You're making good money. I know what you're making. So don't even tell me you're not making good money. Don't tell me you don't have money in your savings account. That should not be. So start with that. And if you want to go do something, go do it. Period. So yeah, don't put limits on yourself.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to get that piece, if you will, from you.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people that talk to me that are contracting right now that are telling me, yeah, man, I'm getting into contracting. A lot of people leaving the military right now, getting into contracting, and doing it for the sole purpose of eventually doing what you did.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it would be interesting to let them hear
mm-hmm.
how that happened.
It's not easy.
How that works.
And I'll tell you that right now. It's not easy. It's a lot of hard work. If you want to work for yourself,
yeah.
It is a lot of hard work. It's early, early mornings, and it's late, late nights, and it's a lot of hard work, but it's absolutely attainable. And vision, and stay sparked,
yep.
and have passion. You know, I get up early to read when I can. You know, there's sometimes that I'm exhausted. But man, sometimes I read 2 pages of some kind of leadership book, and that's all I needed. I just needed that little spark, that little get me up. Surround yourself with like-minded people. Again, this is basic business book stuff, right? Surround yourself with like-minded people. Stay passionate and energetic, and go get it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's a good conclusion.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you for doing the podcast with me. It was
yeah.
awesome to see you again.
I know. It's
been
a long
time. For
so
many years. And getting a chance to talk to you and hear your whole story. So
yeah.
Thank you so much, Felicia.
Thank
it's
you.
It's been such a great pleasure.
Thank you so much. Awesome.